I think there are people we'll see in heaven that have committed suicide. But what I do think is Satan is the one that pushes us to even think about doing it. Because that's what he did when he tried to tempt Jesus. He said, jump off the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written that God will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot upon the ground. Wait a minute. God will give his angels charge concerning you in all your ways. It wasn't one of the ways of God to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. You see, so Satan does tempt with suicide.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel 29 through 31.
And then he says, verse 24, and who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to battle, so shall his share be with those who stay by the baggage. They shall share alike. And so it became from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. That is a great ordinance, and we use that in the church and in our missionaries. You see, not everyone can go out in the mission field. Some can't even go on a short-term mission, much less a long-term mission. But we do have those that go out there on short-term. And the girls this morning, the high school girls, they're going to go to Cambodia. They're going on a short-term mission. And yet they need our support, financially, prayerfully. But you see, what the Lord does with them in Cambodia or our other missionaries around the world, we get to partake of the fruit and the benefit of what God is doing through them. So you're going to realize when you're in heaven and God says he doles out the rewards that we get as believers, when he doles out some rewards for you, go, Lord, that I didn't do that. I wasn't there in that place. That should go to somebody else. He said, no. No, weren't you part of Calvary Chapel? Weren't you praying for that work over there? Didn't you support that work? Well, yeah, Lord, but it wasn't that much. But he said, well, yeah, you get a reward. I mean, if you've given a cup of cold water in the name of the prophet, you're going to get a prophet's reward. So what little you thought you gave to that, or that prayer, those prayers you gave, you get a reward for that. You see, that is what David set down, and it came right from God to the people. And so those that stayed by the baggage, they also shared in the spoil that was taken from the Amalekites. And so they divvied it up. And so it's going to be the same way. Now, maybe those on the mission field are going to get a bigger portion of the reward. But we get some. Isn't that great? And the more missionaries that are out there, the more that we pray for, the more that we support. And I'm thinking K-Lite Radio. That's a mission to the islands. That's a mission around the world. It's amazing when you hear of all the countries that are listening to K-Lite Radio. It'll blow your mind. You see, because with the app and with the web now, you know, they listen all over the world. And so, you see, it's the same thing. There's a lot of rewards. We're going to be really surprised when we're in heaven. And David tells us, you know, what's going to happen because, you know, we're staying by the stuff, staying, you know, enjoying the fellowship here, but, you know, residual, you know, benefits of those that are ministering outside of, you know, our little fellowship here. We're praying and giving to that. We get the rewards as well. And it said, verse 26, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah and to his friends, saying, behold, a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And then it goes on and it talks about 12 different areas that, you know, David talks about. And you can read those if you want, if you can pronounce the names. I can't. Different areas. And David is very appreciative of those that helped him. You know, when he's on the run, these are those that helped him. And so now he's very gracious and he sends out, stuff to them and just benefits them. Now the Philistines, chapter 31, were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Now remember, Mount Gilboa is right there at the bottom of Jezreel, on the eastern side of that plain. And the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan. It's kind of sad, you know, Jonathan. Man, we didn't want to see him go. He was such a good buddy of David's. And Jonathan even said, remember when he said, David, you're going to be king, and I'm going to sit right next to you. You know, I'm going to be your biggest supporter. That's what Jonathan was wanting, hoping. But that's not what God had in store. And I'm sure that even David was hoping that that would happen. But no, here Jonathan is killed in battle. Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. He's got another son, and we'll see him a little bit later as we go on, not here, but in Second Samuel. And the battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and pierce me through with it, lest these uncircumcised, these Philistines, come and pierce me through and make sport of me. So Saul is anticipating that when they capture him, they're going to torture him. They're going to do all kinds of defiling things against him and just unimaginable type of things. So he's telling his armor bearer, just run me through, just kill me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid, for Saul took his sword and fell on it. So the armor bearer, he was afraid. I mean, he had that same attitude that David had. And obviously the armor bearer was there when David said, hey, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. Who can touch God's anointed and be without guilt? Obviously, this armor bearer took to heart what David had said earlier, probably overheard him. Said, I'm not going to kill God's anointed. That wouldn't be right, even though he might be dying. And so here, Saul, he falls in his own sword. Now, we find that an Amalekite finishes him off, says he dies. But we know in the next, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, an Amalekite comes along. Because he falls on his sword, and he's still got life in him, and then that Amalekite finishes him off, and then, you know, he completely dies. But it goes on and tells what the Philistines do to him. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So again, we have to do a little bit of interpolation here. It looked like Saul was dead, armor bearer fell on his sword, and he died. But we know, as I mentioned, 2 Samuel, read it tonight, get a little background, that he wasn't totally dead, and that Amalekite came along and, and finished him off. Then Saul died with the three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men on that day together. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley with those who were beyond the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned the cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and lived in them. So yeah, they figured the battle's lost, the king's dead, the sons are dead, you know, flee, go, just hide yourself and you know, the battle's over. The Philistines won. And it came about on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa, and they cut off his head and stripped him of his weapons and sent them throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. And they put his weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall at Beth Shean. We've been there to Beth Shean. It's really an incredible archaeological dig. Now, they cut off his head. You think that might have been retaliation for David cutting off the head of Goliath, their great, you know, warrior? Could be. Then David, what did he do? He took the sword of Goliath and put it in, you know, the tabernacle area. And what did they do? They took the armor of Saul and put it among their gods. So they're basically mimicking, or they're retaliating. It's revenge for what they feel happened to their, you know, warrior, Goliath and all. But now they really defile. They hang the body, which was a real put down, hanging it on a wall. And then usually it would hang there and the wild animals would, you know, try to get at it. The birds would pluck it and pluck the flesh off of it. And so that is taking place there. And now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, and all the valiant men rose and walked all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beth Shean, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there, or they cremated their bodies, and they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days, fasted as a sign of mourning. But burning the bodies, cremating the bodies, a lot of people have asked, I've had a number of people ask me, is it okay to cremate a loved one? Or do you bury them? You know, what do you do? Well, the Bible doesn't condemn what they did at all. And the Bible doesn't condemn cremation. And here in Hawaii, there's a lot of cremation and scattering the ashes, you know, out in the ocean. You know, we've done that number of times for the, you know, for surfers. And I don't know if the Lord tarries, if I'll have them do that to me, I'm not sure. But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Because when they would bury him back then, they would bury him if they would put him in a cave or in a tomb. The body and the flesh would rot anyway. Sometimes they would just throw him like Elijah was just thrown into a open grave and his bones were there. You know, and you have to realize that in those days, they didn't have sophisticated burials. They didn't have embalming. They didn't do that kind of thing. The Jews didn't. And so over time, obviously the flesh would, you know, and the bones would basically turn to dust. It would just be part of the soil, be part of the landscape. And so what you do with cremation is you just, you know, I don't know how long it takes to burn a body, but what you're doing is you're just, you know, doing that in record time. You know, it's not taking many years for the body to turn to dust. You're just doing it, you know, in the cremation process. And so I don't think the Bible says anything about that. So it doesn't matter whether you're buried, you know, if you've got a grave site and visit the grave. I don't think I necessarily want someone to go visit my grave and put flowers there. That doesn't appeal to me. Hey, I'll meet you in heaven. You know, don't reminisce with me here on earth. You know, I mean, you got the pictures and stuff, but I don't want you to go to a grave and my loved ones mourn over something. Just think about, hey, one day we'll be face to face with Bill in heaven and, you know, Pastor Chuck and, you know, the rest of the saints. But, you know, the Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. So this is just a tent, the Bible says. The tent rips, the tent tears, the tent wears out, and so it's just a tent. And God's going to give us a new body, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's what we look forward to. We don't reminisce and miss the old tent that's no longer serviceable, but we're looking forward for that new tent. Now, the last thing, it looks as if Saul tried to commit suicide. What do you say about that? What if a person commits suicide? Will they still go to heaven? Well, you'll find in the Bible, there are a number of people, and with the Lord, he says, you know, remember when he said, you've heard it, you heard that it's been written, you shall not commit murder, but I say, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder. I say, you should not commit adultery, but if you've lusted in your heart over a woman, you've committed adultery. And he says all this stuff, you know, so it's an attitude. God wants to deal with our attitude, not so much with our action. Well, what about in suicide? I bet a number of you have thought of taking your life, thinking maybe it's been a fleeting thought and not a serious thing where you get the pills or you actually try to do it. A fleeting thought. Do you know that there are Bible characters that have the same idea? You know, Job thought the same thing. It was better for me if I went from the womb to the tomb. I wish I was a miscarriage. I wish I wasn't even on earth going through all this stuff. Solomon, the same thing. You can find it in Ecclesiastes. Jonah. Jonah said, I'd rather be dead, Lord, than alive. You see, thinking these things, is that the same as doing them? Well, according to Jesus, yes. Because he says, if you think the thought, the seed is, or the thought is the seed of the deed. And so I don't see that the thought of suicide or even committing suicide is the unpardonable sin. I think there are people we'll see in heaven that have committed suicide. What about Samson? He committed suicide. Said to the boy, put me between the pillars that hold this temple of Dagon up. And he pushed him. And he said, Lord, sacrifice my life for all the Philistines. He pushed him and it came down. He committed suicide. I think we'll see Samson in heaven. I know Ahithophel. David even writes a psalm about Ahithophel. I had sweet fellowship with him. We walked in the throng together. He was my counselor. Will he be in heaven? Well, I'm not quite sure, but he committed suicide because he joined the coup of Absalom, and then that, you know, turned bad, and so he committed suicide. I don't think we'll see Judas. Judas committed suicide. But I don't think it's the unpardonable sin. But what I do think is Satan is the one that pushes us to even think about doing it. Because that's what he did when he tried to tempt Jesus. He said, jump off the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written that God will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot upon the ground. Wait a minute. God will give his angels charge concerning you in all your ways. It wasn't one of the ways of God to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. You see, so Satan does tempt with suicide. And I never want to let a person off the hook if they're so depressed, they're talking suicide. I never want to let them off the hook and say, well, you'll still go to heaven, because we've had Christians in our church that have done that. I got a call at like 3 a.m. and she was engaged to the fella. And she was just horrible. He wanted to be with the Lord, and so he committed suicide. And he was a level-headed fellow. And I don't understand that, but I do understand depression. I do understand how the enemy, you know, can get a hold of your life. And I don't think it's the unpardonable sin. But for somebody that's contemplating it, I want to scare them out of doing something like that, because the Bible says, and I'm not going to change this, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, when it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Does that mean if a person does commit suicide, God will destroy them in hell? Is that what that means? I'll leave it open to your interpretation. I would just say don't follow the deception of Satan. If he's putting suicide out there, you don't want to risk that. I'm not going to say, you're good, you could commit suicide, because I'd say, no, you are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is in you. And for you to take your life, God says, don't destroy that temple. If you do, God will destroy you. I'm not going to equivocate on that. I'm just going to say, you hang in there. You know, it's interesting. You hang in there for another day or another week, and your mind just totally changes. Oh, wow, I'm sure glad I didn't do that. I was just in a real horrible state at that time. You know, and I think a lot of people, you know, they want to do that to get even with somebody, a child to get even with their parents, a loved one to get even with one that their love has been spurned. And you know what? It may hurt, but then what comes to your mind, how selfish that was. That was the most selfish thing that person ever did. But what a way, if they do go to heaven, to face the Lord that died for a person's sin. And what you're going to do is you're going to take your life off planet Earth when God's not finished with you, when he died for your sins and he cleansed you from all that. You're going to do that? Well, then you're going to get probably all the rewards are not going to be there. You're going to get one of the lowest places in heaven, if there is such a thing. But it's a very controversial way to look at this. There are those Christian theologians that believe that if you do destroy this temple and commit suicide, you won't go to heaven. You'll go to hell. There are others that will say, well, sometimes people get really depressed, and there are others in the Bible that did get depressed, and they thought about it. Samson did it. But I can't answer that for you. All I can say is, hey, the hairs of your head are numbered. The days of your life are numbered. You let God, you know, fulfill all those days in your life, because he's got a plan for you. And it's a plan for a future and a hope, not a plan for evil.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 29 through 31. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.